The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Aha! Welcome to a Friday, everybody. I say every week, I'm amazed we made it this far. And with each passing week, it gets more and more true. I was saying just last night to my husband, this feels like a nightmare. Right? I'm hoping that I'm going to wake up and this is all going to be a bad dream. Going back to, November 5th, 2016, from Donald Trump on, all of it. I mean, we've lived through such insanity that none of it makes sense, of course, but it's been one true disaster after another. None of it makes sense. It's all opposite world, and it goes from bad to worse. And when you think we've hit rock bottom and we learn there is no basement, we get hit with something else. The coronavirus? Where the fuck did that come from? I mean, we were as low as we could possibly go. And then the coronavirus? Are you fucking kidding me? This is the cruelest joke the universe has ever played on anyone, bar none. There's an Elvis Costello song from the album Spike called God's Comic. That's what I feel like. This is God's comic, and I don't believe in God. So what does that say about me? It just is insane. And I feel like maybe I'm in a coma and this is all just my mind playing tricks on me because none of this makes sense. It truly is opposite world.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
I can't explain it. The only thing we have, going on is this, it's sort of a collective mind meld, if you will, right? We're all in this together. It used to be that the only shared experience we all had, at least adults, most of us anyway, death, right? That's something everyone eventually experiences. But as far as we know, we don't get to commiserate on it. It happens. And unless there is some sort of afterlife, it's nothing that we can compare notes on, right? Once you're an adult, there's sex, right? And that's a shared experience, sort of, but we do it in very small groups, right? There's taxes. It's not exactly something that we enjoy talking about. And not that we enjoy this, but it is something that everybody on the planet is experiencing together. So at least we've got that. It's not a great consolation, but it is sort of unprecedented. There's that word again. We are living through something that nobody who's alive today has ever been through before. I know there was a 1918, right? But nobody who's alive today was alive in 1918, or if they are, they they probably don't remember much about it. And so here we are. And there are some silver linings. I mean, we've been experiencing some of the silver linings on this program for the last week or so because I've been enjoying, I think we together have been enjoying some of the creativity that has grown out of our splendid isolation, to borrow a phrase from Warren Zevon. that has arisen. And thank goodness that we have the internet now, because can you imagine going through this kind of isolation, this kind of social distancing without the internet, without the ability to communicate the way we are? I can't. The world has gotten a whole lot smaller because of our ability to communicate in this manner. I'm going to play for you one of the many song parodies that I found that I'll feature a few of them today. And in fact, I'll be guest hosting the broadcast tonight. Brad and Desi are overwhelmed by all this, as are we all. And they asked if I'd like to fill in for them today. And I said, you know what? I had Wendell Potter on the show on Wednesday, and it was such a great interview and I think an important interview that people need to hear. So I said, sure, I'll do it. I'll rerun the Wendell Potter interview. And then, because it's a weekend show and Brad's show runs on a bunch of different stations at different times, I said, we'll do the news as I always do. I'll cover what's going on, but then we'll fill the rest of the time with some of these song parodies because it shows people at their creative best and, you know, how many people are coping with the insanity that's going on. So this guy I'm going to play for you, I don't know his name. He's an artist, and he goes by the name of, I'm going to get it wrong. Hold on. I don't want to screw it up. I want to give credit where credit is due. And damn it, this is not working. The Kiffness, I believe, is what he calls himself. The Kiffness. And he's from South Africa. See, we're all in this together. This is a global pandemic. And the Kiffness has been recording these songs. Yes, the Kiffness. And this is just one of his tunes that I've discovered. I'm a new fan. You can follow him on Twitter, on all the different social medias, The Kiffness. And anyway, here's the first of his songs that I came across, and I thought it was quite good. So to get us started with the funny for this Friday from South Africa, here's The Kiffness on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey there, Corona, what's it like in New York City? Heard you got 4,000 cases, man, that number's pretty shitty. What to do? No toilet paper by the loo, can't make a poo. Hey there, Corona, times are getting pretty hard. Can't believe that just 3 weeks ago was paying bills with this guitar. Now things are bad. Can't pay my rent, it's pretty sad. My landlord's mad. Oh, I'm stuck in quarantine. No, don't want COVID-19. Oh, I'm stuck in quarantine. No, don't want COVID-19. This all just seems so bizarre, cause we got planes and trains and cars, and that's exactly where you seem to stay. We all just made fun of you with love, because we kind of knew you wouldn't really come here anyway. Corona, I can promise you that by the time that we get through, the world will never ever be the same, and you're to blame. No, I don't. Oh, I'm stuck in quarantine. No, don't want COVID-19. Don't want COVID now. Oh, no. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't.
He goes by the name of The Kiffness, a South African artist who I discovered with that wonderful parody of Plain White Tees, Hey There Delilah. That's the second Delilah parody song. The first one we played earlier in the week from it was Tom Jones' parody from, I don't know, some other internet artist. There's tons of them, and I thought that was pretty damn good. So we'll be sharing those throughout the day. Our old pal Dave Johnson is going to join us today, and I'm going to open up the phones too. I know I tried this last week or earlier in the week, but right now I think it's important that we connect. We can't connect face-to-face in person, but it is important that we reach out to friends and people that we know and love, because we're all isolated. I heard from an old friend last night who, you know, is one of my favorite people in the world, but we don't talk very often. And so I was glad she called, and it made me realize that this weekend I'm going to pick up the phone and call some friends of mine that I don't talk to enough, just to check in on them and make sure they're okay. So again, we'll open up the phone lines, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of news to get to, so let's do it. And we'll do it live.
I read the news today, oh boy.
We'll do it live.
Okay, fuck it.
Do it live.
We'll do it live.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
We will, but I gotta get my copy.
Sucks.
My copy, which is hiding, but I'm overloading my computer. I've got way too many things open at one time, and it's not cooperating. All right. So, hey, we're number one. Yeah. Finally, number one in something. The number of coronavirus cases in the United States rose yesterday to over 85,000. More than in any other country on earth. As of this morning, the death toll here in the U.S. stood at nearly 1,300. Now, about a quarter of U.S. infections and deaths have been in New York City, while the virus appears to be spreading fastest in the New Orleans area. Italy, though, remains the country with the highest death toll. That is now up to 9,134. That number jumped by over 900 today alone in the single largest single-day death toll reported by any country so far. So for those who were saying, oh, it looks like it's slowing in Italy, not over 900 people dead today alone. Italy has 80,500 and some odd confirmed infections, nearly as many as in China, where the outbreak began. And globally, there are now more than 500,000 confirmed infections and more than 21,000 deaths. Nearly a third of the world's population is in lockdown to slow the virus's spread. Other countries are bracing for the next wave of the crisis. Ethiopia released 4,000 prisoners to prevent the spread. Doctors in Venezuela, which has largely been spared so far, are preparing for the worst because of the country's vulnerable economic and political state. China is closing its borders to most foreigners as it attempts to recover from the outbreak and prevent a second one from starting. And we awoke this morning to breaking news from the UK, where Prime Minister Boris Johnson took to Twitter to make an announcement.
I've developed mild symptoms of the coronavirus. That's to say, a temperature and a persistent cough. And on the advice of the chief medical officer, I've taken a test that has come out positive. So I am working from home, I'm self-isolating, and that's entirely the right thing to do. But be in no doubt that I can continue, thanks to the wizardry of modern technology, to communicate with all my top team to lead the national fight back against coronavirus. And I want to thank everybody who's involved. I want to thank, of course, above all, our amazing NHS.
Yeah, that he's trying to put out of business or privatize, actually. So that makes Boris Johnson the first major world leader to contract the illness that has sparked a global pandemic. Oh, and after Boris Johnson tested positive, the UK's health secretary, Matt Hancock, he tested positive too. Closer to home, well, you know, the Senate on Wednesday passed this $2.2 trillion coronavirus bill, and D.C. was planning that the House would pass it by unanimous consent today. Well, the day got off to a rocky start as Kentucky Republican Representative Thomas Massey tweeted out that he was going to force a recorded vote, a roll call vote, which would require a quorum of members to be present. I think the number that they needed to be present was 216. In the end, leadership from both parties joined together to overcome Massey's efforts. And, well, here's what happened.
Mr. Speaker, I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman yields back the balance of his time. All time for debate has expired. Pursuant to House Resolution 911, the previous question is ordered on the motion. The question is on adoption of the motion. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The ayes have it.
Mr. Speaker.
This is Massey.
For what purposes, gentlemen, seek recognition?
Mr. Speaker, I came here to make sure our republic doesn't die by unanimous consent in an empty chamber, and I request a recorded vote.
Purum.
A recorded vote is requested. Those favoring a recorded vote will rise and remain standing until counted. An insufficient number having risen, a recorded vote is refused.
Mr. Speaker.
Is the gentleman recognized?
I object on the basis that a quorum is not present and make a point of order that a quorum is not present.
The chair will count for a quorum. Counted for a quorum. A quorum is present. The motion is adopted. Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid upon the table. Pursuant to Section 7B of House Resolution 891, the House stands adjourned until 3 p.m. on Tuesday, March 31st, 2020.
All right, so that happened. Now the bill has passed the House. It now goes to the president, who has said he'll sign it immediately. So hopefully what this means is that it should be that by Monday we get the information on what we need to do to file for unemployment benefits, to get the ball rolling on getting cash into our hands, right? Now, everything about this bill was far from perfect, and I got to hand it to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for standing up and fighting for us. Come on. Oh, no. Hold on. Why? Oh, I know what happened. Will this work? Hold on. I have a clip here and I changed the, I want to play this clip for you. I actually changed the spelling on how I labeled it, and it screwed it all up. So give me 1 second. I got to find this clip. Here we go. Here's AOC.
What did the Senate majority fight for? One of the largest corporate bailouts with as few strings as possible in American history. Shameful. The greed of that fight is wrong for crumbs for our families. And the option that we have is to either let them suffer with nothing or to allow this greed and billions of dollars, which will be leveraged into trillions of dollars, yep, to contribute to the largest income inequality gap in our future. There should be shame about what was fought for in this bill and the choices that we have to make.
Thank you, AOC. See, yes, there's something for us, but there's so much for the big money interests, for Donald Trump and his cronies, that with little to no oversight, you know, the same old, same old. And I'm glad AOC is fighting for us. She's just awesome. Anyway, even before we get the new guidelines and guidance on how to file for the new enhanced unemployment compensation, nearly 3.3 million Americans filed new applications for jobless benefits last week as businesses nationwide shut down or limited their operations to help slow the spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus. That figure smashed the old record for weekly initial jobless claims. It was 695,000 set back in 1982. And 2 weeks ago, Only 282,000 Americans filed for their first week of unemployment benefits. So there's all that. Now, from the disinformation files, and if you've been watching any of those daily White House briefings with Trump, you're familiar with the disinformation files. Trump told U.S. governors in a letter yesterday that his administration would be releasing new guidelines on, quote, maintaining, increasing or relaxing social distancing and other mitigation measures for containing the coronavirus. Trump said his administration is gathering data to help set guidelines categorizing counties as high risk, medium risk, or low risk for COVID-19 outbreaks in the next phase of the response. He's talking out his ass. He said he wants to adjust his initial 15-day social distancing guidelines to allow much of the shuttered economy to reopen by April 12th. This is insanity. Now, his comments yesterday during the briefing were even more unhinged than usual, and they're usually pretty out there. So rather than assaulting your ears with his voice, here's CNN's Daniel Dale explaining some of the nonsense Trump was spewing yesterday.
This was a barrage of false claims, some of which we hear at his campaign rallies, like the claim that the U.S. has never before received 10 cents in tariff revenue from tariffs on China. But even if we just look at the coronavirus-related stuff, this was a lot of stuff that was not true. For example, Trump denounced what he called fake news and corrupt news over a story about Washington Governor Jay Inslee today telling Trump, we don't need a backup on medical supplies, we need Tom Brady. And Trump said that was fake news and corrupt news, and then he confirmed the story. He said Inslee did say that, but he said it in a positive way. But Trump also claimed repeatedly that everybody wants to go back to work. People want things reopened fast. I think when Trump says everybody and doesn't cite any data, we have to look at the data. The polling data we've seen so far shows that there is strong, very large majority support for closures, for school closures, yep. restaurant closures, yep. Sporting event closures. And so Trump's claim that everybody wants to very quickly go back is not necessarily supported by what we're actually seeing on the
you
ground.
Think?
Trump also said the restaurant industry, he said all restaurants will be back, maybe under different ownership. That is not what we're hearing from the restaurant industry. They say that a prolonged closure could be catastrophic for them. So many of the things Trump said are just not grounded in reality here.
Hello. Thankfully, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institutes of Health also spoke and was able to counter some of Trump's lies. But, and you got to be on the lookout for this, the Washington Post is reporting that a smear campaign against Dr. Fauci is taking root online and among some of Trump's right-wing crazy media supporters, like Lou Dobbs, who's helping to spearhead the smear campaign, laying the groundwork for Trump to cast aside the experts on his own coronavirus task force. We can't allow that to happen. Last night, Trump continued to distance himself from the experts on every front of the fight against the virus. The White House had been preparing to reveal on Wednesday a joint venture between General Motors and Ventech Life Systems on production of up to 80,000 desperately needed ventilators, when all of a sudden word came down that the announcement was off. So the decision to cancel this announcement reportedly came after FEMA said it needed more time to assess whether the $1 billion price tag was prohibitive. So last night, Trump called into Sean Hannity's Fox Noise TV show. Apparently, he postponed a scheduled phone call with Chinese President Xi so he could go on television with Sean fucking Hannity. At what point he said this?
But I have a feeling that a lot of the numbers that are being said in some areas are just bigger than they're going to be. I don't believe you need 40,000 or 30,000 ventilators. You know, you go into major hospitals sometimes, they'll have two ventilators. And now all of a sudden they're saying, can we order 30,000 ventilators? So, look, it's a very bad situation. We haven't seen anything like it. But the end result is we got to get back to work. And I think we can start by opening up certain parts of the country, you know, with Farm Belt, certain parts of the Midwest, other places.
I somehow have the phone open on this computer, which I didn't mean to, and so it's muted out my sound. I got to close it on this computer. But I guess someone's calling in, so we'll say hi. Who's this?
Hello, Nicole.
Hi.
It's Michael from New York City.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm trying to hang in there, and, you know, I'm home now because of my office, my job has closed until further notice, but I'm okay. And the thing is, I had to call in because I, too, have had up to here with Trump's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that last statement that you just played, that he doesn't think we need 30,000
right.
or 40,000, Trump, get a fucking clue. There are over 39,000 cases. In fact, the numbers, I think, went over 44,000 cases here in New York State. I can't recall what it is in New York City, but it's still in the five figures.
Oh, yeah.
So we do need it. And I'm tired of him, you know, treating this whole thing as a freaking joke. Let's not make any mistake. This whole COVID-19 virus going nationwide is his fault because he had so much hatred for Obama. He dismantled that pandemic commission that
That's
Obama
right.
set up
yep.
while he was still in office.
You're right.
You're
absolutely right.
That.
Yep.
And then, yeah, and so then now he's going to say that he wants everything reopened in 2 weeks in time for Easter
yeah.
for an American resurrection. You know, this guy, he is so hell-bent, I got to say this, so hell-bent on killing pretty much of America, who is now gone against his ass, exposing him for all the fucking lies that he keeps telling, and this damn Republicans in Congress that keep backing him up. The guy is a sinister. The guy is a criminal. The guy is a terrorist and would not last 5 minutes with me in a damn
Whoops.
Debate.
Oh,
I'll
boy.
Tell you this, Nicole, in closing, before I go,
yeah.
that I would have Trump shaking so much and sweating profusely that he would be smelling so bad that he'll turn. He'll make sure right guard turn left, speed stick slow down, sure get so confused, Arab go AWOL, Bam go on strike, and at the end of the day, not only is that deal no longer a secret, but he'll give lights off the lowdown.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Michael, you know, look, you called me for years when I was on the air and we couldn't curse. I'm glad you got the hang of the internet thing so quickly. And have command of the language. Well, now you found me, so you know I'm here every day. So, you know, good to hear from you again.
Stay safe, sister.
You too. Thank you for calling. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Michael from the Bronx. Okay. Hi, who's this?
This is Al. We're Proud Skell in Alabama.
Hey, Proud Skell.
I'm trying to hang in there, although the president is in the process of destroying two of my home states now, Michigan and New York, and it's not looking pretty.
Oh, my God. Did you hear? I'm sorry. I know I don't like to play too much of his audio. But to Hannity, he also badmouthed the governors of Michigan and Washington State. It's insane. The man is insane. And what's getting to me right now is how he his approval ratings are going up. It's opposite worlds. I don't understand it. The man is a moron, a complete imbecile, and he's the reason that this thing has spread the way it has in the United States. He's the reason why we have more cases of coronavirus here in the U.S. than any other country in the world, and 60% in the latest Gallup poll approve of the way he's handling the crisis.
Nicole, I also wanted to talk about the student loans.
Mm.
I have a sister that works in colleges in Mississippi.
Mm.
Right now, she is dealing with a virus crisis. There are a bunch of kids right now in colleges because of student loans are away from home and living hand to mouth.
Yeah.
And one of these kids that roomed with seven other girls contracted the virus. So she was kicked out of the house. And the hospital, even in Mississippi, is full right now.
Ugh.
So right now, the girl is living in a car somewhere in Mississippi due to the student loan crisis, partially.
Oh, my God. Ugh, it's sickening.
It has gotten that bad.
And I got to tell, other countries have suspended. They've suspended mortgage and rent payments. They've suspended it. They don't have student loan debt because most of the other civilized nations on the planet have free public colleges and universities, tuition-free. Obviously, they have socialized medicine. We're the only nation that doesn't. We are so backwards in this country, and so many people are not going to get the medical help that they need because they can't afford the copays or deductibles if they even have insurance. So while the legislation that just passed will get them a free test, a lot of good that does them if they are sick and they can't get treatment because they can't afford it. So,
yes, and meanwhile, down the street from me, there is a church associated with the University of Alabama. It's the Catholic Student Center, that they have a special food pantry to help kids in that condition just because the condition, and now they have to ration out food for those kids that are hand to mouth because of student loans.
Yeah. We are headed. Look, the coronavirus is going to be the virus, the bug that kicks off like the pneumonia that turns into the plague that really destroys everything that's left that's good about this country. I think this is just the beginning of the disaster we're about to see. Hey, Proud Skelt, thank you for calling. I'm going to run because I got to get Dave Johnson on the line. We still have a lot of stuff to get to, but thank you for calling in. Stay safe. Good to see you in the chat room. We've got a great community going here. We've got two chat rooms going, one through YouTube and the other at on the Listen Live page at NicoleSandler.com. So do come on and come if you're sheltering in place and alone, come join us. All right. I got to get Dave Johnson on the phone. But while I'm getting him on the line, enjoy one more lovely piece of internet creativity. I'm not sure who this guy is, although I will post this video on my blog at NicoleSandler.com after the show. It's another one I found on the interwebs, somebody being very creative with an old song that you will remember. When you think of COVID-19, come on, you know you think Dexy's Midnight Runners, right? Come on, Eileen.
Human race, got a virus you can't deal with, and the threat that you might be erased. Happy birthday, sing it twice, you'll be saved. Just got really real. COVID-19, yeah, you're scary and mean. Gotta self-quarantine, cancel everything. COVID-19, you're all I've got on my screen. It's an introvert's dream to self-quarantine. Stockpile the Luro, you stockpile. Stockpile the Luro, you stockpile. Stockpile the Luro, I can't find any more, cause you stockpile. Stockpile the Luro, don't stockpile. Stockpile the Luro, don't stockpile. Stockpile the Luro, the shelves are bare now, I can swear now. Where's the Luro? I need Luro now.
Luro is British for toilet paper.
Are you a killing machine or just a flu like there's been almost every year? COVID-19, yeah, I just wanna scream. Maybe self-quarantine so I can disappear from all this.
Loo roll. Now I know what a loo roll is. Ah, okay. Well, you know what time it is, don't you?
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, hello, my old friend Dave Johnson. How are you hanging there?
I'm good, Nicole. It's good here in California. You know, I mean, as good as it can be to be locked away.
Yeah, and you've been locked away longer than those of us on the East Coast because you guys got hit first. And you know, we've emailed back and forth through this whole thing, and I remember. You were among the first group. You were in between, you know, Northern California and Washington State, where you were sort of sandwiched in by the first two outbreaks here in the U.S., right?
No, I'm not in between. I'm right in the middle of the six counties that they locked down.
Oh, yeah.
I'm right there. I'm in San Mateo County.
Ooh, you're in it. You're in the middle of it.
We got locked down first. We got the first shelter in place, the six counties. So I think I've been locked down 2 weeks. And then a while after that, the governor did the whole state. So I was looking at some statistics that make it look, it's not good. It's not good anywhere.
No.
But that California is on track to not have its hospitals overwhelmed. We're on track for some very bad numbers. You know, I think they said 6,000 dead, but that only represents 1% of California's population getting infected. So the lockdown, the early lockdown, sort of early, you know, good they did it, is effective in keeping the hospitals from getting overwhelmed. It's when the hospitals get overwhelmed, then not just the coronavirus and they have to make terrible choices, but every other condition that someone might end up in a hospital for can become deadly right away.
Right. And that's why, you know, they're talking about they're sending the hospital ships, one to around Los Angeles, one to New York, and they're talking about putting regular hospital patients on those ships. So to keep them separated from the infectious coronavirus patients that are taken over the actual hospitals, for which they're building more and more. I mean, the Javits Center in Manhattan, which is a huge convention center, they're turning into a remote hospital. And they're talking about opening another one in each of the five boroughs. I mean, this is insane.
I also saw just now on the news we've reached a milestone of around 450,000 total tests in the country.
Ooh.
Which is, remember, how long ago was it? It was the beginning of this month. They promised 1 million immediately.
Yes, of course. And you hear Dump still saying, we've tested more than anybody else and our tests are better than anybody else. He is such a fucking liar. And it just blows my mind.
I can't even listen to him.
No, and what? How do you account for the polling? Why are people like believing his shit?
Oh, that's easy. You and I, and your listeners, and us on Twitter. You know, we're informed. Okay, we're highly informed.
Yeah.
We follow news very closely, very very closely, and we understand about Fox News and such.
Yeah,
a friend of my wife, she's a Democrat, you know, she's very much so. And here we are in California, of course.
Yeah.
And she's just got in touch with my wife and said, hey, I heard there's a cure. I heard there's a cure. There's this malaria drug that's a cure. I feel so much better.
Oh, my God.
Now, you and I understand what she's saying, but the way information travels among people, we don't own that. They own that. Republicans own that. I mean, you see all these polls, and the polls will show about 45% of the public basically believes almost any of these Republicans. You know, they believe in Obama phones.
Yep.
They believe that the IRS was harassing conservative groups. You name it. You know, that information channel that the Republicans own reaches people, and there's not a lot we can do about it. There's also the rally around the flag. You know, all of the leaders in the country the world are showing these great rises in their approval ratings and everything. After 9/11, Bush went to 90-something percent.
That's right.
So Trump's all the way up over 50 or wherever he is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So.
And it's just, that's terrifying. And here's what's even worse. All right. And you and I have had this discussion before. Neither one of us are particular Joe Biden fans. and he, you know, I'm kind of apoplectic that until 2 days ago, he was missing in action for over a week. We still don't know where he was. Then he resurfaces to do a video that looks like a hostage video from his new studio in his basement. And the first video he does, he fucks up with the teleprompter and he's doing this hand motion off to the side like we can't see it. And it's like, it is painful to watch. He will be destroyed by Donald Trump in any kind of general election, in a debate if they happen to get there. And it's just with each passing day that it gets worse and worse. Donald Trump is up there pretending to be a commander in chief, and Joe Biden is looking more and more infirmed. And people on the left are going, Bernie needs to drop out and just throw all his support to Joe Biden. Why in the world would he ever do that right now?
No, of course not right now. You know, there's a lot of time between now and when the actual nomination happens. A lot of time. We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know.
And I'm going to say something weird here, and you're going to hate it as much as I do, but we got someone out there who has really stepped up.
Andrew Cuomo. And I'm not a big Andrew Cuomo fan. But you know what? He has stepped up, and he's showing leadership, and he's showing someone who we can all look up to. Look, I loved his father. I don't know if you've seen on Twitter. I posted a picture with him and a letter of recommendation that Mario Cuomo wrote for me back in 1984. And I said, if Andrew Cuomo is 1/10 of the leader his father was, who should have been president, then we'd be lucky to have him. And I know Andrew Cuomo is not Mario Cuomo, but, you know, there's a little bit of him in there. And look, I had to take him any day of the week over Donald Trump. And frankly, I'd take him any day of the week over Joe Biden, too. And, you know, there's another story that's now simmering out there, Dave Johnson, and I haven't brought it up because, frankly, I know if I put it in What's News, which runs on the Progressive Voices Network, I know that the vitriol that will be unleashed on me.
If it's for real, we'll be hearing a lot more about it. You're talking about Reed, right?
I
forgot
am.
Her first name.
Yeah, like Tara Reed and not the actress. It's a woman who worked for Joe Biden back in the 90s who has allegedly been trying to tell her story for a long time now. She went on Crystal Ball's Hill Rising show on The Hill TV and told her story that basically she's saying that Joe Biden digitally raped her, that he took his fingers and inserted them, had her up against the wall and raped her. And that she tried to tell her story to Time's Up and to some other organizations, and they would not hear it from her. And look, we can ignore it. The left-leaning media can ignore it. I promise you, Donald Trump's campaign will not ignore it. Right-wing America, Republican America will not ignore it. And I listened to that interview, and this woman sounded pretty damn credible to me. And this is who we're going to put up against Donald Trump?
She has people who... verify that she talked about it at the time. Yeah. So we'll see. I'm just going to say on that, all I'm going to say is we'll see.
Let's see. I know. And
we have, you know how many hundreds of people will have stories about Biden and, you know,
what's
that song? I sniffed a girl and I hiked it. Have you seen that video?
Well, now, you know, others look, his creepy behavior of the touching and the, this takes it to another level. And it's not okay for Donald Trump, and it's not okay for Joe Biden. And look, I get that, and you know, I'm a big Bernie Sanders fan, and I think right now we need him. We need Medicare for All more than ever at this moment. If ever we needed a world incident to drive home how insane it is that we have a for-profit health insurance industry in this country, we're living it right now. But I get that Bernie Sanders has been so damaged by the medical industrial complex and that's an Amber alert on my phone. Hello. That's just what we need right now, an Amber Alert in Florida. Hello.
Did Biden do something else?
It wasn't Biden. It's somebody in a black Lincoln SUV, in case you were wondering.
So
they have destroyed Bernie Sanders' chance. I will understandably stand aside on Bernie to get somebody who can win there instead of Joe Biden.
That's the big thing, is everybody, you know, as they look at the possibility, like let's say that Bernie can get enough votes still to cause
contested convention, brokered convention,
or something else happens. Okay, the big question was, well, who can we put in? Who would be an acceptable somebody who could run? And you know, the Warren people, a lot of the non-Warren people wouldn't like that, especially you know the corporate wing,
yep,
etc. So that's why I said there's somebody who suddenly has stepped
up.
Well,
I think it's got to be somebody
kind of.
Yeah, I think it's got to be somebody who wasn't
public reception that they say gets traction. You know those terms,
right.
Gets traction.
Yes,
kind of the way Biden got traction when everybody suddenly ran flight to safety after coronavirus started, and suddenly Biden gets all the votes.
Right.
But getting traction, you know, there's nothing like getting traction is the thing. It's why Bernie got traction over Warren. This, you know, that whole.
That's right.
That's what happened when Obama just swept over Hillary way back when. Just all of a sudden, you couldn't really identify a reason, but something with the public clicked. And what's happening right now is, I would say, if there was a brokered convention,
yeah,
it probably ought to be Cuomo.
It probably could be, because right now.
Yeah.
The American people want someone who we can look up to, who we know can take control of a situation and lead us. And as much as, you know, Cuomo is not the progressive I want, I'd rather see a Sherrod Brown. Cuomo has stepped into this moment in history and has emerged a leader. And a leader is what we need. And he's a great contrast to Donald Trump.
Yes. Who, Sherrod or Cuomo?
Well, either one, but right now Cuomo is providing the bigger
contrast.
Yeah,
right
contrast.
Now it's Cuomo that's in the public eye.
That's
and
right.
In a remarkably good way.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And because he could win, I think it's got to be somebody who wasn't in the primaries. Look, I love Elizabeth Warren, and I think out of everybody, she should be. If it is Cuomo, if it's Sherrod Brown, if it's Bernie Sanders, and frankly, if it's Joe Biden. I think Elizabeth Warren is the best choice to be VP because I think she's the most qualified of all of them and the best for progressives out here if we want any
right.
semblance of Medicare for All or any semblance of a Green New Deal or progressive policies to come anytime in our lifetimes. I think
okay,
she's our best bet.
I got another one for you, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and hear me out, okay?
Okay.
Amy Klobuchar.
No!
No, wait, hear me out. You know why?
No!
No,
why?
You know why?
Why?
Because we're in a time of social isolation and her staff would be safe. Gotcha.
So, oh, then that needed this.
Yep. Oh, boy. So you got a good tune for us?
I do. All right. Here's another one. So there's I knew it was coming. Every day this week, I have had a parody of one particular song. Can you guess which song that is?
No.
Well, of course, it's My Corona.
Oh, so, God.
I can't
The beer no one will buy.
So I can't get I've got this earworm. I can't get it out of my head. But some families are like getting in on the act. In this video, I don't know who this family is, but they're an adorable family. So here's just another take on My Sharona, redone for our current circumstances. Take it away, cute family on the internet. Here we go.
Corona virus is a mystery. COVID-19. I had a goldfish, but it died.
you're too cute. This little girl's playing guitar. Kind of. And the little boy trying to play the drums while dad's wiping him down. Okay, so, oops. Oh, okay, so I'm going to go into this next one. This is another one from the Kiffness from South Africa. This is awesome. Here we go.
Where it began, well, it began in Wuhan. Eating a bat was probably wrong.
Uh-oh.
Seriously, man. COVID-19, it's such a flippin' bummer. That's why I wrote this flippin' song. Elbow, touching elbow. It's a silly greeting, Cyril, seriously. Infecting me, infecting you. So bad, so bad, so bad. I've been declined from performing in front of 100 people or more. So I'm sitting at home, trying to self-quarantine. Loo paper's running kind of low.
Loo paper again.
So I go to Woolworths. Where's all the toilet paper? Guess I'll be pooing with my bowl. I don't know what I was saying there. Elbow, touching elbow. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. I'm touching you. Sweet Corona. Bad times never seem so bad.
So bad, so bad, so bad.
I've been declined from performing in front of 100 people or more. It's not like I formed in front of 100 people anyway. No, 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 no. People don't want to hear me singing. Sweet Corona. Bad times never seem so bad.
Yes,
I
get a vibe from that that guy's going to wake up someday and he'll be in a universe that never heard of Neil Diamond.
How great was he? That's a South African artist who goes by the name of The Kiffness, K-I-F-F-N-E-S-S. And he's got a number of these parodies that apparently he's knocking out in his South African home because he can't go out and perform. This is bringing the creativity of everybody out, and I just love it. Right?
Let's watch how creative everybody is in 2 months.
I know. Oh, my God. That's the thing. It's one thing, you know, if you're stuck in alone, you can do, you'll get your creativity on. It's when you're confined with other people. I love my husband and I love my daughter. I love them both separately. They have been at each other's throats. I'm walking my dog a whole lot more because yesterday I just had to grab him and go out because I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, you know what I do? I listen to podcasts. I listen to you. Yay. Go on long walks and listen to you.
Okay, just stay 6 feet away from everyone else. So, So you've been confined, Dave Johnson, longer than the rest of us out there in California. Are they telling? Is there any end in sight? Are they giving you any guidelines, or are they just saying stay put?
Well, the original lockdown for us in the six counties was till April 3rd, but the governor came in later, locked down the whole state, and that's got no end of date. So we don't know. I mean, everybody's got to wait and see. Everybody in the country has to wait and see on this. You know, maybe they'll come up with some kind of treatment drugs that are good, you know, better than malaria drugs. And, yeah.
Or fish tank cleaner.
And they'll work, and you can be less afraid of getting it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not until they get a vaccine that I'm ever going to a restaurant again. I'll tell you that.
Wow. Wow. Man. It is frightening. And I'll tell you something. You and I are, you know, no spring chickens. I mean, I turned 60 in November, and I'm now in that group. It's like, if you're over 60, stay home. Holy shit.
Yeah.
How did this happen? And wow.
I got lung issues because I used to smoke. And so, you know, there we are.
Lung cancer survivor. Hello, I'm down a lung.
So if you're down a lung, I got a question. Does that mean that you'll get it less bad? Think of it that way.
Okay, but I only have one. I have one in one in a quarter lungs, basically.
Hey, my wife's father made it into his 90s.
Yeah.
With one lung.
Yeah,
so there you go.
And apparently my pulmonary function has been fine. Good. But I'm smoking a lot more pot now than I used to because
Uh-oh.
I'm home.
So, it's legal here. Is it legal there?
Medical marijuana.
I shouldn't ask that question if you answer it.
No, medical marijuana is, you know.
Okay.
Medical marijuana is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, here in California, after they legalized it,
yeah,
there is no difference that anybody can tell about anything. It's just, you know, it's just like it was before.
Of course.
Yeah. The world didn't end. The crime rate didn't skyrocket. Nothing happened.
Right.
Nothing happened. It's just legal. That's all.
And it should be everywhere. They need to change. Yeah. While we're all under house arrest, basically, they need to say whatever you want to do in the privacy of your own home is fine. As long as you're not hurting anyone else, it's fine. Go have fun. Enjoy your solitude. Enjoy your incarceration. Enjoy your, you know, your sheltering at home. Have fun.
That's right.
Don't hurt anyone, but enjoy yourself as much as you can without touching anyone else.
So did you hear what the governor of Michigan said about Trump?
Oh, what?
Oh, this is just out there. So she criticized Trump, and now she's getting told that companies are being told not to send ventilators and masks to Michigan.
Oh, God. That's sickening. You know, what he said is, I'll only help the governors of states that are nice to me. The man is an infant. He is certifiable. I'm sorry Boris Johnson got sick. How does Donald Trump escape without getting coronavirus?
I keep hearing that. And this is exactly what he was impeached for.
I know.
And during the impeachment, Adam Schiff and others were saying, look, what if he was doing this to governors in the United States, saying, you do what I want or, you know, we won't provide disaster relief or something? That was the question during the impeachment. And now it's happening.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's crazy. All right. Well, Dave Johnson, you stay safe. Enjoy your time at home. Say hi to your lovely wife for me. Enjoy those walks. Take the show with you. And we'll talk soon. Reach out to a friend.
Thanks for using the better picture.
You got it. I found it today just for you. All right. Thank you, Dave Johnson. And I'm guest hosting the broadcast tonight. So check that out. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe.